Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning from Taylor's Tabernacle Church. Hallelujah. Good morning to everybody who's in the sanctuary. Good morning to everybody who is watching through the internet. Amen. Through Facebook, through YouTube. Good morning to everybody. But we have made it to what? Another month. Another communion. Amen. 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 We are broadcasting today here and over the internet from Taylor Tabernacle Church, where the pastor is Elder Jonathan E. Ford. Amen. He has blessed us with the word that God. Put the mic. Here we go. All right. Reception now. Amen. 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 Sorry if y'all couldn't hear me. If you're at home, welcome. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians 11. Amen. As we start our communion service. I have already told you what the Lord Jesus did on the night he was betrayed. And it came from the Lord himself. He took some bread in his hands. Then after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Eat this and remember me." After the meal, Jesus took a cup of wine in his hands and said, "This is my blood, and with it, God makes his new agreement with you. Drink this and remember me." The Lord meant that when you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you tell about his death until he comes. But if you eat this bread and drink the wine in a way that isn't worthy of the Lord, you sin against his body and blood. That is why you must examine the way you eat and drink. If you fail to understand that you are the body of the Lord, you will condemn yourselves by the way you eat and drink. That's why many of you are sick and weak, and why a lot of others have died. If we carefully judge ourselves, we won't be punished. But when the Lord judges and punishes us, he does it to keep us from being condemned with the rest of the world. My dear friends, you should wait until everyone gets there before you start eating. If you really are hungry, you can eat at home. Then you won't condemn yourselves when you meet together. After I arrive, I will instruct you about the other matters. Amen? Amen. We are now going to have our deaconess, Helena Weiss, come forward, and she is going to read our confession of faith, and as she's reading, repeat after her.
Good morning. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Have mercy on us.
And forgive us.
And forgive us.
That we may delight in your will.
That we may delight in your will.
And walk in your ways.
And walk in your ways.
To the glory of your name.
To the glory of your name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now we are going to have the prayer over the sacraments by our Bishop James Ford. Amen? Amen.
Father, we are so grateful for this another blessed Lord's Day morning. We are blessed and privileged to come around the communion table one more time to commemorate the death and suffering of our Lord, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was wounded for our transgressions, who was bruised for our iniquities, who took the chastisement for our peace upon him. And with his stripes, we were healed. We thank you, Father, that we were healed and we are healed. So we claim healing for the body and healing for our souls. Thank you. We thank you for the elements that are placed before us this morning. And we pray that you would consecrate them now, that they may be as the broken body of our Lord and his precious shed blood, that as we partake, we may be mindful of the fact that we are partaking of the body and blood of our Lord. And this we do in remembrance of him. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for your assistance in that regard. Hey, this morning we're going right to the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Philippians, the third chapter, verse 17. Again, this morning, Philippians, the third chapter, verse 17. We're also going to add to the witness this morning out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. While you're finding those passages, I do want to thank all of you who have participated in the 3 days of prayer and fasting. I appreciate your unity in the matter. I appreciate your participation. And I ask that you continue to pray for our neighborhood and for our community in light of the recent events that have not only taken place around the country, but now have taken place on our own streets and in our own neighborhoods. So let's pray. Let's pray for the family and all of those that are affected by violence. And let's continue to pray for our city that this spirit of murder and homicide be broken. Amen. So let's stay vigilant as the body of Christ, because the one thing we can do that no one else can is we can pray. We can pray, and we can pray to a God who will hear and answer speedily. Amen. So we thank God for that. Well, if you haven't, I am going to ask you to stand with me just one more time for the reading of the words. It's just a few verses out of Philippians. And then we'll add to the witness out of Hebrews. If you are there, Philippians 3:17, it says, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is even able to subdue all things to himself. I'm just going to add verse 1 out of chapter 4. He says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. So now we're just going to flip over to Hebrews 12:22 and just read two verses there. Hebrews 12:22. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Here's the sermon, if you're listening, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Amen. This morning, for the few moments we have, I just want to talk from the subject, citizens of heaven. Citizens of heaven. Our Father and our God, it is at this time that we turn our attention heavenward. We come that we might gather in this place, that we might honor and worship and magnify your name. God, we come to you because we need a word this Sunday. We need a word from on high. We need a word from heaven that can contradict what is going on in this world. We need a word from heaven that can encourage us, strengthen us, inspire us, give us the faith renewed to run and to fight until the coming again of your Son. God, help us to understand, to know, to realize, to appreciate that our citizenship is up in heaven. God, I thank you that this is our hope. This is our home, that one day we will join you, join the Son, and join the Spirit and the host of angels in that heavenly city. So God, guard our hearts, our mind, strengthen our bodies, renew our faith, that we might run and continue to fight the good fight of faith. This is our prayer. And we ask it in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. One of the major themes in the book of Philippians is pursuing Christ's likeness. It's not the only theme, but it is one of the major themes. Paul talks extensively about pursuing Christ's likeness. And as Christians and as believers in Jesus Christ, our major objective is to become more like Christ. Okay? Not more like anyone else, not more even of our own self and of our own nature. But our job from the day of our salvation to either our death or the coming again of Christ is to become more like him. Can I get a witness? Galatians 2 and 20 says it like this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Right? So our job is not to live our life, is not to pursue our goals. Our job is to live like Christ. Our objective is to pursue with all of our energy Christ likeness. Are you with me on it? Let's turn our attention to the text. Verse 17, he says, brethren, join in following my example, and also note those who so walk as you have for a pattern. one of the steps in the process of pursuing Christ's likeness is to follow and become a godly role model. I'll say it again. In part of the process of pursuing Christ's likeness is to first follow and then yourself become a godly example of Christ. Okay? I'm talking about Christian role models. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. This is how the gap between us and Christ is so wide that in the way of salvation, he has allowed us to see those who go before us, who have learned to be more mature, learned to be more disciplined, have learned to be more consecrated, who we can see, touch, and feel, and learn to follow their example as they themselves follow Christ. Paul said himself, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. You guys weren't here when Christ lived. You guys weren't his disciples. You weren't here during his ministry. But if you follow me, I'm going to imitate Christ. And now all you have to do to help you pursue Christ's likeness is now imitate me. Do you follow what I'm saying? So on the one hand, it's a great responsibility to know that others are following our lifestyles. Now, within the context of this letter to the church at Philippi, who Paul is referring to in terms of Christian role models, first he's referring to himself. He said, first follow me. But then he also says, he said, also note those who so walk. And as it relates to this letter, he was referring to Timothy and Epaphroditus. He said, you know these guys. You know Timothy? Epaphroditus is from Philippi. He said, so even though I'm writing from a distance and you can no longer see me, you're no longer aware of what I'm doing, you can't observe my behavior, you do have people in your own congregation who are Christian role models. He said, follow them. Follow their example. We used to say in the old church, govern yourself accordingly. Amen. So we have Christian role models. And so my question to us as a church, even as it was to them at Philippi, is are you willing to be a godly Christian role model? I think back to the words of Charles Barkley, a Philadelphia hero, and his famous words when it came to role models is what? I ain't no role model. I don't want the responsibility. I don't want the pressure. I want to be able to do whatever I want to do with no consequences. But we know that as children of God and that as a part of pursuing Christ's likeness, it is our responsibility to be godly role models. According to 2 Corinthians 3 and 2, it says we are living epistles read among men. Let me clue you in on this. You're a role model whether you like it or not. So we're not signing a card. We're not signing a letter. Say, yep, hey, pastor, I'll be a Christian role model this month. They're looking at you anyway. So why not give them a godly pattern to follow? Scientists and medical professionals say that up to 80% of all behavior is learned. It's not instinctual. It's learned. We learn to talk by what? Imitating someone else. Mama. Daddy. We really don't know what a mama and daddy is, but all we're doing is what? Saying what you are saying. Doing what you are doing. So the question is, will you be a godly role model? Now, going down into verse 18, he said, there are many, and I've told you this before, he says, that are enemies of the cross of Christ. And that thing jumped out at me. What does that mean? An enemy of the cross of Christ. Here, Paul is referring to those men and women in and around the church at Philippi who did not pursue Christ-likeness. Enemies of the cross. They come around the cross, but they do not submit to the authority of the cross. Now, when I think of enemies, I often think of known enemies. When I think of somebody, you know I hate you and I know you hate me. You know what I'm saying? But tonight we got a great rival. When I think of enemies, I think of Eagles Cowboys. I think of Lakers Celtics. You follow what I'm saying? For those of you in the theatric world, I think of Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr brought out on the stage. I think of Batman and Joker. I think of Superman and Lex Luthor. These cats are known, and when I see you coming, I'm already expecting trouble. I see Deacon Todd. I think of the Hatfield and the McCoys. Follow what I'm saying? We just got a history of being enemies. But the enemies of Christ are not so. Enemies of the cross that Paul is referring to here did not outwardly oppose the cross of Christ. They didn't come against it. They didn't deny the gospel. They didn't deny that Jesus Christ was a real man. They didn't deny his resurrection, his death or his resurrection. The only thing they denied was their willingness to follow his example. These are what I call Christians who want a salvation that is served like Burger King. Burger King's famous motto is what? Have it your way. I don't mind coming to church as long as I can have it my way. I don't mind getting married as long as I can have it my way. Pastor, I don't mind giving as long as I can give my way. You follow what I'm saying? We want to be a part of it, but only up until the point where we don't have to change, where we don't have to conform to the image and likeness of Christ. As long as I can be a part of it and still do what I want, when I want to do it, the way I want to do it, then this religion works for me. Are you following what I'm saying? Romans 12:2, you know, it says, be not conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed or changed. Why? By the renewing of your mind. Here it is. Finish the whole thing. That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I love that word, to prove. What are you proving? That I'm not an enemy of the cross. No. See, if your life doesn't pursue Christ-likeness, there is some cause for concern. Because you can actually be an enemy posing like a friend in our midst, right? And this is the description of the false prophets and the false teachers. They come in among us and assume to be with us only to have their life prove that they were never with us, which is why they eventually leave us. They leave because they don't want to conform. They don't want to change. They still want to be able to do what they want to do. Touch your neighbor and tell them you got to change. Here it is. Enemies of Christ. Verse 19. Now, in verse 19, Paul begins to give us some identifiers. Some identifiers. Because, again, they're in here among us. But how can we tell which ones are enemies of the cross versus friends of the cross? Those who are submitted to the cross. So Paul helps us and the church at Philippi identify these enemies of the cross. Here's the first thing you got to know. First, he reminds us that our job is to identify them, not kill them. I wish I got more amens. Verse 19, God starts, whose end is destruction. Now let me help my church. Their end is destruction, but that does not mean you are authorized to destroy them. I wish I had a real check. Come on, this communion, y'all got to help me more than this. Their end is destruction, but it is not your job or my job to destroy them. Jesus, the Bible says what? You are to what? Love your enemies.
But it also says in Romans 12:19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written that vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord God. Look at somebody and tell them God can handle his own business. Watch this. They're not enemies of Jonathan Ford. They're not enemies of Anita Macy. They're not enemies of yours. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. So why not let God deal with them? I'm telling you, your life and my life would be so much better if we let God handle his own business. I wish I had it in it. Here it is. So now, first thing you got to realize is God's job. God's going to handle them. Now look what it says. They're in this destruction. It says God, their God, is their belly. This speaks of self-gratification and is often characterized by an all-about-me attitude. Philippians 2:3 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one of us esteem the other more important than ourselves. I wish I had a church where this was being lived out. I wish I had a church where people actually esteemed others better than themselves. This is how you identify enemies of the cross, because enemies of the cross have an all about me attitude. It's all about me. It's all for me. It's all when I am ready. It's all when I'm comfortable with it. You follow what I'm saying? But God, Paul said, this is how you know they're an enemy of the cross. And so they have this self-gratification or all about me attitude. Here it is. Here's a good point. Watch out for people who only watch out for themselves. I'm helping you. I may not have helped you the previous Sunday, but I'm helping you this Sunday. Watch out for people who only watch out for themselves. Can I get a witness? Here it is. Next, they say what? Their glory is their shame. Enemies of the cross are praise seekers. They always seek praise for themselves by pointing out to others what they have done. Someone says, you know, Pastor, I went and set up the communion table. Enemies of the cross do this, but I helped them. It doesn't matter who does. Not doing it for show or for anything. We're doing this for God's glory. We're doing this to be obedient. Oh yeah, but I helped him. Pastor, we cleaned up the block the other day. Yeah, yeah, but I pointed to the trash for them to pick up. Does that even matter? All that matters is we get the trash up. But praise seekers are always letting you know what they have done. Galatians 5:26 says, let us not be desirous of vain glory. That always wanting to get attention, always wanting to get praise, that's what the Bible calls vain glory. Isaiah 43:21, in contrast, says, this people I have formed for myself, and they shall declare my praise. You know what Isaiah is telling us? God said this, he said this people, meaning all people. I mean, in context, he's referring to Israel, but in a larger sense, he's referring to all people. God saying, I formed you, and I formed you for one purpose only, and that is to declare my praise, to honor, to praise and worship me for being God and creator of the world you live in. That's what we're created for. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it turned around. Don't try to mix it upside down. We were created to praise. And that praise is for God and not ourselves. Tell your neighbor, say, don't praise yourself. Here we go. Their God is their belly, their glory is their shame, and their mind is set on earthly things. Enemies of the cross are only concerned with this world and what this world system has to offer. I'll say it again, write it down. Enemies of the cross are only concerned with this world and what this world has to offer. They have no interest in spiritual things. No interest, no desire. That's why they're not drawn to it. That's why they don't participate in it. The only thing they're concerned about is what this world has to offer for them. But what does John say? John 1, 1 John 2:15. You know it. Love, Jesus, this is what John said. Love not the world. I wish I had a real church. Neither the things that are in the world, because if any man loves the world, then it is a sign that the love of the Father is not in him. Ask your neighbor, say, do you really love God? Isn't that what the sister saying? You don't love God. Y'all remember that? Right? All right, whatever. Look, maybe I don't remember. Y'all looking at what song is that, Pastor? But watch out. Enemies of the cross have their mind only set on what this world can offer. They never consider the possibility nor the potential or benefit of what heaven can offer. Here it is. I got to hurry now. I'm in the final throes. Verse 20. But Paul says, now I gave you some things to look for the enemies of the cross. Now I'm going to give you a couple traits or identifying marks for those that are citizens of heaven. Verse 20, he says, but our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is even able to subdue all things to himself. Here you go. The citizens of heaven. In one secular source, this term citizenship is used to describe a capital city that kept names of its citizens on an official registry. I'm tying it together. Paul says we are citizens of heaven. And one of the ways you know your citizen is up in heaven, this definition says that term citizens used from in biblical times, it was used to describe a capital city that kept the name of its citizens on an official registry. If you got it, say, I got it. I'll keep preaching if you don't, but if you do, I'll cut it short. Now look, here you go, and I'm going to help you. Remember what Job said. Anybody remember what Job said? Job said, my witness is where? Up in heaven, right? And my record is stored where? On high. He said, if you look for my name in this world system, if you look for my registration here in an earthly place, the way folks are carrying on now, you may not find my name. They're deleting names. They're preventing us folks from vote. They're saying you're not qualified for this. Your vote won't count. But I'm glad that as a citizen of heaven, that my witness is up on high and my record is up where God lives. Are you a citizen of heaven? Come on, let's work it. He's laying it out here. Here it is. Now, Paul, here are some other citizens of heaven also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch your neighbor and tell him I'm waiting on somebody. 1 Corinthians 1:7 says, characteristics of citizens of heaven are that they eagerly wait for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, help me preach. Somebody in your house, just tell them I'm waiting on something. You know how you wait for Grubhub. You know how you're waiting for the food to be delivered. In that same manner, ought we also to wait for the coming of our Lord and our Savior. Every day, every hour, I'm waiting for the Lord to come back. I'm waiting. I'm looking. I'm watching. I'm praying for at any hour. The Bible said, no man knows the day nor the hour that the Son of Man shall appear. Citizens of heaven are always waiting, always enduring, always persevering for that great day. So we used to sing in the old church. Oh, I want to see him. Just to look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. Cares are past, home at last, ever to rejoice. One day, you will, I will, we'll finally see him face to face, not through plexiglass, but face to face. And we have this hope. Why? Because we're citizens of heaven. Here it is. Citizens of heaven long for the day when our bodies shall finally be changed. I don't know about you, I'm waiting on that day. Because this old body of mine is giving me more trouble, more problems. I must have gotten a bad model. You guys must have got an upgraded model. But this body that I got, it just doesn't want to do right. I don't know, maybe your body is already programmed to live right. Maybe your body is already programmed not to lie. Maybe your body is already programmed not to give in to temptation. Maybe your body is already prone to tell the truth. Maybe your body never gets sick. Maybe your body never gets tired. But the model that I have, it is always failing. It is always falling short of the mark. But when Christ comes and we become citizens of heaven, here it is. At that moment, then this corruptible will finally put on incorruptibility. It is at that moment that this mortality shall finally put on immortality, and we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling, a bat of an eye, it'll all be over. I'll finally get out of this sin-infested body that torments me every day. That's why Paul said you got to put it under subjection. You got to tame that thing. Touch your neighbor and say, tame that thing. Bring that body, your mind, your thought life, your attitudes, bring it subject to the Word of God. How many of you know it's not easy? It's not easy. You may dance and skip like it's easy, but it's not easy. Why? Because I'm pursuing Christ's likeness. As citizens of heaven, we'll receive bodies that won't age, bodies that won't get sick. I don't know about you, but we'll finally have bodies that won't be infected with COVID-19. Bodies that won't catch the flu. Bodies that won't suffer from cancer. Bodies that won't suffer from lymphoma. Bodies without high blood pressure. Bodies without low blood pressure. Bodies with no pressure at all. Bodies infected with diabetes. Bodies infected with this. Stuff they don't even have names for. Stuff they don't even know where it came from. But when Christ comes and we enter the holy city of God, the new Jerusalem, we're going in with new bodies. Somebody say yes. Tell your neighbor, I'm due for a full makeover. Yeah, this body's getting made over. I'm not going into heaven with this body. No, no, I got a new body on layaway. Here it is. I'm finished. Here it is. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my beloved, and long for brethren, also my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord. And so I'll close with this. Whatever you do, stand firm in the Lord. If you are a citizen of heaven, stand firm in the Lord. If Jesus Christ is in fact your Savior, stand firm in the Lord. If in fact heaven is your home, stand firm in the Lord. Regardless of what this world does or does not do, stand firm in the Lord, regardless of whichever way the election goes. I encourage you with these words, stand firm in the Lord. Stand on his promises. Stand on his word. Stand under his blood. Stand under his power. Stand with his anointing. Stand with the glory that comes from God. Stand in the faith that was once delivered to the saints, having done all to stand. Stand ye therefore as citizens of heaven. This world is not our home. Peter tells us we are just pilgrims and sojourners through this world, making our way, even as the Hebrews would travel to the holy city of Jerusalem. So we as citizens of heaven are on our way to that heavenly Jerusalem, that holy company up in the sky where God lives, where Jesus sits on the throne, and where all of the saints of God shall be gathered in that city. Church, I just want to remind you, our citizenship is up in heaven. If you're here this Sunday and you're not sure where your spiritual citizenship lies, why won't you make a choice for Jesus? Why won't you say, preacher, I want to be where God is. Preacher, I want to be where the Lamb of God sits on the throne. I want to go to that holy city, that great company in the sky. And you can go. All you have to do is pursue Christ's likeness. And it starts by first accepting him as your Lord and Savior. Lord, I confess my sins. I acknowledge Christ as my personal Savior. I accept and receive his shed blood. I honor and I thank him for his broken body for me, for me, for what I've done, and pardon of my own sins. And Lord, if you'll save me, I will pursue Christ's likeness. I'll dedicate my life to becoming more and more like you. Less and less of myself, less and less of anyone else. But God, I want to be like you. Lord Jesus, I want to come up to the full measure, the full stature of Jesus Christ, so that when he comes again, he may find a church without a spot or a wrinkle. If you're joining us today, if you're here in the sanctuary, if you're joining the online broadcast, and if you have a prayer request, we pray that you submit it now. They're on our website, on our page. If you're in the sanctuary, we do have prayer request cards. Drop it in the offering basket as you leave. We're going to pray with you and we're going to pray for you. Because living for Christ, following his example, is serious business. And all of us need what? Christian role models. We need somebody to follow. Someone to show us how to do it. So that one day, when Christ comes again, I will be ready to go to my ultimate home, which is up in heaven. God bless you, Taylor. The Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer. And at this time, we're going to receive our offering and our announcements.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. And this morning, you may give through one of three ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail Service. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and then follow the instructions. And to give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. And for those gathered here in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door. One for your tithes and offerings, and one for the preacher of the hour. Please place your silk envelopes in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. And as always, we thank you for your continued support for our ministry. And at this time, we will have our announcements by Deaconess Elena Weiss.
Good morning again. Here are our announcements for this Sunday. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us for the reopening of our church. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has had the COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. The church van will not be in operation during these initial weeks of our return to worship at the church. So please keep that in mind and plan your transportation accordingly. Please refer to the COVID-19 guidelines distributed by email. If you need a hard copy of the guidelines, please call the church at 215-748-4578, or you can contact your watch care deacon. Friday night prayer and Bible study continues via the church conference line. The church conference line dial-in number is 775 799 775-799-9141. Again, that is 775-799-9141. This month, we will be studying the Book of Lamentations. On Friday, November 27th at 7:30 p.m., we will have a church check-in via Zoom. The Zoom information will be sent out during the week prior. A reminder that Tuesday is Election Day. The pastor is encouraging everyone to make sure you vote in person or by dropping off your mail-in ballot. Remember, if you have a prayer request, please visit our website at www.taylortabernacle.com and go to our prayer request page or call our church at 215-748-4578 and leave a voicemail so we can respond to you. Lastly, remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. Now we will have the benediction from our pastor.
Shall we all stand? Again, thank you to all of our family and our visitors that are here today. Thank God for all of our members who are here for in-person worship. Thank God for all of you who are joining us via the online community, Facebook and YouTube. We thank God for you and for your partnership and fellowship with us in the faith. Just to reiterate, we're asking everybody to get out to vote. No matter what you got to do, they say make your plan now. Thank God for all of you who have already voted, who have already done the mail-in ballot. For those of you who have not, again, just make plans and arrangements to get your vote cast on this Tuesday. Amen. Shall we bow our heads? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. We thank you for this another day, another Lord's Day, another Lord's Communion. We're thankful that we are yet mindful in remembering the great sacrifice that you have given of yourself for us. We thank you for your broken body. We thank you for your shed blood, by which there would be no remission of sins. So thank you for what you have done for us, both now and in the past and throughout all eternity. We shall forever praise your name. All of God's people say amen, amen, amen again. God bless you, Taylor.